listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We are here live and right here at KWAI 1080 on the radio dial. And as I had indicated earlier, we have a guest here, Mr. Bill Rakoma from YA side over there. And a while back we talked about Ko'olau Loa and the sustainability plan and the city and some of the things that the city had committed itself to doing, and I characterized them as illegal and unethical, and that was during the Hanneman's administration. And we talked about David Tenoy, the director and deputy director at that time of the DPP, the Department of Planning and Permitting under the city, and all of the little trickies that were occurring. Well, problem is, Tenoy is still with us, and our new mayor ignored any objections or the public opinion and put him up front, and he had him reconfirmed by the city council, who should be having their head examined too on Tenoy. They've had many reasons to not only fire him but investigate the unethical practices occurring in the DPP. And so anyway, I have Bill here, and Bill actually filed a complaint, and we'll start off with that just to kind of give the climate of the atmosphere that the general public has to navigate and work in, and special favors and friends, and we'll discuss that openly. But good morning, Bill, and thank you for joining me. And if you could, tell us specifically about this complaint and the ruling by the Neighborhood Board Commission.
Good morning, Carol. Thank you for having me here. I filed a complaint back in July of 2009 after the an Envision LIEA special meeting was held at the LIEA Elementary School. It was a board special meeting, and they had the presenters from the Envision LIEA there. There were several issues right off the bat. The notification for the meeting was, it was a day short, kind of small, but what really irked me was the violation of the Sunshine Law.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people were not allowed to speak their piece. It was pretty one-sided. The general protocol and the standing operating procedures were pretty much against the Robert's Rules of Orders. For instance, instead of being able to raise your hand to have equal opportunity for each person to speak, there was a sign-up sheet there, and because it was set up this way, a lot of the supporters of the Envision LIEA were the first people there, signed onto this sheet, and the meeting was limited to 1 hour of community input. So that pretty much sucked up the first hour, and it really didn't give a chance. At that time, after that, actually they didn't even go an hour because the presentation for the Envision went over its allotted hour. After some ruckus from the community, they said, well, we'll let some more people speak and get another 10 minutes in there to give you the full hour worth of community input. The next, I believe, 7 or 10 went up. The additional 10 minutes were over, and they were ready to vote again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, more ruckus was raised because it's a violation of the Sunshine Law. It's basically the neighborhood board is there to accept the input of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And when you limit that input to those that are in favor of your views, that's not a true input of the community. Another factor on this was at least five of the board members were employed by this what I'll call the Trinity, the BYU, PCC, and HRI,
mm-hmm.
were on the board. And to me, that's a conflict of interest. Had not another board member, I believe it was Creighton Mattoon out of Punalulu, raised the question of conflict of interest, they would have voted against it without knowing.
Mm-hmm. Without knowing that they were in violation?
Correct. Ms. Junior Promacio has been on the board for a while. He's been on several boards. He should know the laws. And as well as some of these other people.
Well, even if they didn't know the law, generally there is an advisor from the neighborhood board sitting there monitoring that. And many of them are appointed and sent by the mayor, and they're there to get the marching order. So knowing what I know about the neighborhood boards, it is a cesspool of politics and generally, in the general sense, and on many of them, they're supposed to be receptive to you and a conduit for you and affording you the ability to speak and communicate to your city government and other government agencies. But the problem is when they purposely, they know that have five people working, because in the Envision LIEA, who will benefit from the Envision LIEA, for example? I know there's some say they're going to get a new house or kids can stay home and get a job, but if washing dishes and directing cars in a parking lot is a good job, then you want to destroy the whole neighborhood. But who benefits from the LIEA? Would HRI benefit from?
Well, you've got to remember, HRI, PCC, and BYU are basically all of the same entity.
Mm-hmm.
This housing care, which is the big deal out there in LIEA, has been dangled. Jeez, I'm a newcomer there. I've been over there slightly over 20 years, and when I first got there, I voted in support for the land behind Polynesian Cultural Center to be mm-hmm. to be classified as housing, and they did get the grant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 20 years ago, and there hasn't been a stick put up.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, it happened again, and then there was another elderly housing community that was supposed to go up in LIEA, grant given, community support in. Nothing happened. So that's the real trick with this Envision LIEA, is they're saying jobs and houses. Well, they're also telling you they're going to bring in another 12,000, 2,000 students,
mm-hmm.
which have to be housed somewhere. Okay, the local residents are not going to be able to compete with a student that will take a minimum wage to pay off his housing at the Trinity's own property. So basically, you're bringing in kids, employing them, and then taking their money to pay for your mortgage is basically what's going out there.
Mm-hmm.
The new influx of students will and faculty will consume all of the proposed housing right off the bat, and it will also consume all the jobs. I don't think a lot of the residents in Laie really know that. And the issue is about the land itself too. I mean, a lot of it's owned by the Trinity, and they haven't sold any. They're actually it's been in the news recently, and not in the news,
mm-hmm.
where people are losing their leaseholds with HRI and those factions, and they're not being renewed. If you look at the land owned by this Trinity, it exceeds over 3,300 acres, and that's not including Laie Town proper, PCC, BYU. This is just everything other than those areas up into the mountains. That's a lot of land, and to already have land that's approved for housing and want to go and tear up ag land to put in high-density housing. I mean, if you drive around the island, there are very few stretches where you can look to the, on your left to the Ko'olau's and see the Ko'olau's. No wires, no houses, no buildings. And that's one of the last few places. I was trying to think of where the last one was this morning, and I couldn't. Not all the way up, all the way in the sunset, past that Haliva, back down. I think the next spot was Makapu.
So now your complaint, and as we're talking, when you raise these issues, we were pointing out that the people on the board work for an entity that would benefit from them shutting you out or limiting public input or diverting public input to and delaying it. They were rebuked by the Neighborhood Board Commission. What follows? What will happen now? I mean, do you get a chance to go back and resubmit? Will they reopen? What is to be had here?
Well, the findings of fact show that they were in violation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it is hereby ordered that the board could hold another meeting relating to the Vision Laie plan and allow the members who wish to vote do so after... Again, after oral and written testimony is provided by the public.
Mm-hmm.
I think the timing on this was good that it happened because one of the big supporters of this Sustainable Communities Plan was the vote by the Neighborhood Board. If that vote is null and void because it has not received all of the input from the community, what is the DPP basing their decision on? again, it's the same thing with the night they made the vote. After a one-hour presentation for the board by the Envision team, after 1 hour, the board votes to accept, you know, building on how many, 200 acres, 1,200 houses, and introducing another 2,000 people into the area?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on an hour?
So now the DPP, we assume, relied on the information that was presented and how it was snipped and nipped, and they made their decision on a, we'll call it erroneous format. And so they relied on information that is tainted now. So are you thinking and suggesting that they should throw all of that out and revisit it and hear it over? But how are we assured, and has there been a formal request of DPP to trash the recent decision and redo this thing? Has there been any move, a formal request or anything, or what are you folks going to do?
I believe the DPP votes on the Sustainable Community Plans December 14th to 20th. I'm really not sure on that one. I've been kind of busy digging up all this other stuff. but you got to remember, the Sustainable Communities Plan is supposed to be done every 5 years. The Ko'olau Loa's is 11 years old. In other words, it's 6 years past its approval date. And several months before it goes in front of the DPP, it's interjected with, you know, hotels at Turtle Bay and the Laie project and 1,000 condominiums, 5 hotels, 1,000 new homes and complexes, and a shopping center and an industrial area.
Mm-hmm.
Several months before the vote is after 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little short notice, don't you?
Yeah, I think not only a short notice, but what I'm trying to get at is what is being proposed, or your organization, or you as an individual, what is the community saying? Are you saying that you wish to dump this recent decision regarding Turtle Bay and the Sustainable Plans Committee report and start all over again?
Well, the Sustainable Community Plan has been worked on, as I say, 11 years now. The Public Action Committee has got several years in on this. And these other things can be added to the plan later. I mean, they didn't have to be added right now before the vote, because they're added now, they get voted in. It's pork fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stuck in there. It doesn't have to be voted on. I would say that the DPP should, drop this, the insertion of the Turtle Bay and the Envision Lie EA. Go ahead with the sustainable community plans as it's been worked over the last 11 years, with the assistance of the PAC, which has got time and money involved in it. Actually, no money. These are volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And go with that plan, because that's a real true long-term opinion of the community. And, if you want to throw this other stuff in, throw it in later. Pass the plan as it was originally written before it got injected with all these additional private development benefits in there.
Do you trust them? I mean, well, the neighborhood board is a critical element here, and if they harangued and played games with the truth and didn't afford the public proper input, as you pointed out, what is the DPP rendering its decision on? So start with that, and then what I'm trying to get at, I would like to see out in the community someone say, we can't trust any of this because it seems to be an integral part of the entire process. So is this forgiven? Will you be able to trust future decisions?
From the neighborhood board?
This whole process, because I see them as part of an effort, see. I'm not seeing it as neighborhood board as a separate entity. They are an effort, an entity, part of this effort to deprive or defraud the public.
Right. It's an advisory capacity to the government, or to our system, I should say. I say, stick with the PAC plan and the original Sustainable Communities Plan, which was all in line to the general plan. Most of the stuff that's in here, especially the Envision Lie, is totally against the general plan of the state of Oahu. I mean, they've already set up stuff out on the EVA side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many millions of dollars went into that, and now you're just going to blow it off and shove another 2,000 people over here?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to double the adult population of this town, and the student body will be larger than the resident body.
Well, my concerns, personally, standing back looking at it, is that I personally couldn't trust any of this, and I never did, with the DPP and how the Hanneman administration had purposely brought in the director, Henry Ng, and the shenanigans that were occurring under that, and the planners that they purposely inserted to the yes men, right, and people who are willing to do just about anything because it's better pay, better salary, and they're not going to take issue with that administration. And so Ng leaves, but again, you had Tanoi, who worked for the Corporation Council, was an attorney and advised DPP for many years. So he's been in the thick of things, and then you name him. But personally, I would say this whole process is tainted now. And it was tainted, let me qualify that. It was tainted in the beginning because of what I know personally of how they stacked the cards and who they put in, the planners, and how they allowed certain planners to retire or quit and go work for individuals that were consulting on those plans. So that's why this, your complaint, brings it out, and a body then rules against it. It's not just my opinion or your neighbor's opinion that there are some fraudulent practices, but a body wind of this decision. And so I'm personally a little leery of accepting anything from this. And as you're saying, the SCP, the Sustainable Communities Plan, conflicts with the general plan. And then they kept the PAC out of some of the meetings and didn't listen to them. But they had, now, behind the door meetings, with whom? Who participated in these closed door meetings?
DPP, HRI, PCC, BYU.
Mm-hmm. And what was rendered and what was determined in those meetings?
Nobody knows. That's not a real public record. And that's something that's kind of sketchy, is because I'm paying this guy's salary, and you're not telling me what you're doing or who you're meeting with, and mm-hmm. you're not really getting... You're going... The government's dealing directly with a business entity. And if you... Like I say, it's the Trinity. It is a religious entity. And I have some questions about church and state here.
Mm-hmm.
How can you, I was surprised that the DPP actually said in their meeting last week, their community meeting, that they support this. Now, that's, how can you support it on, based on what? And, again, I mean, I could go into the tax revenue, the issues here. I mean, there are so many little roads to go down here. The population increase, the traffic, the water, the... I mean, I'm kind of freaking out about the tax money because it's PCC runs as a tax exempt because it's owned by BYU. They
mm-hmm.
they employ their students from BYU to work at PCC. So there's not really any real job. I've got a 2008 tax form here, and it's funny because I look over here in the light labor short, it says over 1,100 employees, and yet I'll look at their tax record and it shows 783. All throughout, all of their...
783 what?
Employees at Polynesian Cultural
Center. So, you're looking at a brochure. Where are the 1,100?
1,100's in their brochure.
And what is their brochure? I mean, the listeners don't have that available.
It's an Envision Light EA. It's just for...
Produced by whom?
Produced by the Envision Light EA group, which again is the PCC, the Trinity.
And they're claiming in that 1,100 jobs?
And again, this
and
is,
then
this
how
is
many in the tax well, are they claiming?
Again, this is 2008 taxes. It claims 783. They've always boasted that they employ over 700 students from BYU. Mm-hmm. So actually, 10% of the jobs available at the Polynesian Cultural Center are residents, mm-hmm. are non-students.
So the people that's on TV saying, I'm going to get a job, my child, the kids can stay here and get a place to rent. If they're bringing in students, and I don't have all the facts, and they surely won't talk to me, but, you know, their legal advisor is Jason McQuivy. If you go back and look, he's a protege of Mufi Hanneman's. He has a program, fellows program, Pacific Fellows program. He went through that program. So... You know, these relationships are tighter and closer than we really know about. And so more than likely you are going to get shooed away when you go to make a testimony or write a letter. The PAC will probably be shut out, and the HRI and others in DPP will meet behind closed doors because the writing's on the wall here. There's someone giving marching orders to someone, and I don't know who's giving the orders and who's taking them, but I do know who's actually carrying them out.
Right.
It's Tanoi and the politicians who's standing back. And have you approached your neighborhood board or the city council? The city council, we'll speak to them first.
Not yet. That hasn't been done yet. The next step is to go from after DPP approves it. I believe it goes to the city council after that.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, the city council, I've got to put my kudos out to Todd Apoe. He'll be missed as a council member. But it just shows you, I mean, how bad can it be? I mean, I thought the guy was, Apoe was a real respectable guy, honest.
Mm-hmm.
When he digs out of a government job to go work for Disneyland, mm-hmm. you know, you wonder, I mean, it's not about the pay, or is it?
I don't know. That, you know, I'm sure there's about 10 callers down punching the button going, wait, let me call it up. Just because you work for government don't mean you can't go and work for a private industry. But, you know, and when you say he's a great guy and then turn around and say that he suggests that. I personally think that He failed us miserably, he being Todd Oppo, as a city councilman. Now, that's my opinion, and because you would write to him and he would brush it off and then he would receive it and I'm going to look into it and take care of it, and next thing you know, there's a sign saying going fishing.
I'm talking about the lesser of nine evils.
Well, I don't divide. I see it as when it all culminates and comes in the form of you having to file a complaint, and your complaint is upheld, and the ruling is that they did something wrong and they're rebuked. I don't, you know, fragment with the lesser of the nine evils. I say that if they are a part and the others benefit from their action, then they're part of the sum total, you know. And that's why I think we need to, as a community, people like yourself, you're not getting paid for this, are you?
No.
So we need to be careful that when we go in and strike up a fight, and we're deprived of that one basic right to participate, then they close doors and go behind and tell you, go away. Then, you know, I never sit down and talk about how good or bad the other guy is. I want to know why you are ripping us off.
Okay, well, you know, that's a good point, and you're talking about the money, because the people that are opposing this plan do not have the financial backing of, you know, the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
which is worth millions and $600 million at my last count.
Wow.
I mean, they take 5.6 just in, well, we won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, you know, they show up in their brand new yellow shirts or their blue shirts. I mean, the last meeting, everybody's talking about, I want to live here in Hawaii, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a student who's not even a U.S. citizen who says he's gonna wants to get married here and have a kid, and he wants a place to live. He looked at all of the, and he wasn't the only one. There's a couple of them. These are the people that come on the four side,
mm-hmm.
And then everybody was mentioning, oh, I see all these sea of blue shirts, and you look at this sea of blue shirts, and I went, they haven't been long enough here to get tanned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been, like I said, in Hawaii 20-some years, and I didn't recognize a lot of people there. I mean, mm-hmm. we're active in the community, the library, AYSO soccer, we've done all that stuff. We've raised our kids here. And as like we, you know, like the joke, we're one of the seven non-LDS families out there. And
mm-hmm.
I can't make that joke anymore, because after looking through the census stats, only 3.7% of the population in the Ko'olauloa is LDS.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder, where are you other people? If you don't like it, get up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I found it rather interesting, and with the number of blue shirts, there was a news clip, and I thought, wow. They may have thought that they were making a statement in support of their this plan and the approval of it. I felt, what a great statement to say that if you're that concerned about the details, that you would bother to take your minions and put T-shirts on them and march in so that you could give that image that the blue shirts outnumber the green shirts. That told me that the guys in the back room, we should pay greater attention to them and reject this plan, because look what they're implementing. They're getting right down and dirty, right down to the ground level. If it's that way, then can you really trust them? Because lay the facts out, open it out for yourself and the other public members to review in the pack to and consider that and stick to the original plan. But look what they're resorting to. Who allows that? The Tanoi's. I guarantee you the Tanoi's and the DPP minions there knew exactly as part of the strategy.
Well, I'm not real familiar with how the public end of it, government end of it is going. I'm still at a grassroots level. What I'm doing here today is I'm trying to let these people out in the Ko'olauloa area know that this is not going to give you any houses, it's not going to give you any jobs. And it's real simple. And, you know, for everybody else on the island, I could tell you a bunch of other stuff. I mean, the fact that it would be... the properties and the houses would be owned by the Trinity that many people don't know, but there is a clause that the housing base can be rejected on a pound from a religious entity. give me a second here, is that a religious entity can segregate its... how should I say this? I don't want to say it wrong. I want to quote it right off of the law. Because I don't want to get in trouble here.
Well, go ahead and find it. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the things that there's Chun James and others that have... she's raised some points that, you know, $7 billion rail system potential. Now, we don't really know what the cost is, but we know that it's higher than what they told us. Then you have the $4.7 billion EPA sewage consent decree on the sewage. So we're looking at $11 billion or $12 billion basically. That's without the hidden costs and the you know, readjustments and all, and cost overruns and change orders that'll come with this program, because every city program, you got to pay your buddies off with change orders. You see, we give them a $7 billion contract, and throughout the change orders and extra parts and what have you, it ends up being $16 billion. That's the standard practice here in the state. Or in this city as well. So, can we afford it? And then the taxpayer, have you looked into, will the taxpayer incur any expenses? The general public now, not the as you say, the Trinity. Will the taxpayer
suffer? I did read where they are going to try to get some, you know, government subsidy for, you know, the things they're doing here. And let me get back to that fair housing laws. The fair housing laws have an exception that allows a religious organization or a nonprofit controlled by that organization to limit occupancy in its buildings to members of the same religion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of scary. That means 96% of the residents of Ko'olauloa would not be eligible for housing.
So that means you and I better go and buy a house in North Shore or somewhere else.
We're going to hit another...
that's what are you saying?
That's something else I kind of dug up. I did some stats again. I'm basing all my stuff off the census.
Mm-hmm.
And I compared Kahuku, Laie, and Haula, with Laie being in the middle. And the median home cost in Laie is about $586,000. But in Kahuku, it's $370,000, and in Haula, it's $373,000. Haula has 36% as homeowners are owned. Laie is about the same, but Kahuku is 54% are owner occupied.
Mm-hmm.
The pay scale is different in Kahuku. 71% of residents make $75,000 or less, and 21% are between $50,000 and $75,000. In Laie, residents 53% of the residents make $75,000 or less. 18% are between $50,000 and $75,000. And in Haula, 75% make $75,000 or less. So basically, what that really boils down to is that Laie residents are paid less money, they pay more for their homes, and are less likely to be owners of fee simple owner occupied houses than mm-hmm. their adjacent towns.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of living compared to the U.S. Laie is 98% higher than the U.S. average, where the other two towns are about 58, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder, why is it so expensive to live in Laie? Is it because that the, you know, all the land is owned primarily by the Trinity?
Mm-hmm.
They're paying their people less because they're the employers of that area. Those are the kind of questions.
In an attempt to be fair, you know, if anyone from the area out there of the Envision Laie that is supporting this, you know, please don't hesitate to give us a call here, 524-1080, and we'll give you equal airtime. But please don't wear the blue shirts. I'm not impressed by it, because I would be here sitting amongst 50 blue shirts, and I have one brown shirt on. So we don't want to get into that. We don't need to make that. But you're welcome to call in or come on the show, and we'll give you equal time. Anything that's said here will allow you to offer an explanation and challenge. But one of the things that caught my eye, is David Tenoy, the director of DPP, is quoted as saying that he will widen Cam Highway.
Yes, I read that.
Now, how is he proposing to do that? And if he's going to widen it, who's going to pay for it? It's a state highway. Is there any permits? Has there been any movement for him to go to the state transportation department? And also, there, I know there's, for example, there may be bridges involved, and there's endangered species like the Oopu out there. And then, you know, you have those environmental issues. Has anything like that been floated?
It's ironic you kind of mentioned that, because my wife just noticed recently that they're moving the telephone poles back about another two lanes worth in front of Gunstock.
Mm-hmm. In front of Gunstock.
Yeah. They're moving it over on to the right side. The fence has already been moved over to the left. The taxpayer's going to pay for it. That's going to make more traffic out there. I don't care what you say. They don't stay in one spot. It's kind of ironic. I mentioned about the pay out there for the Polynesian Cultural Center. 10 of their top employees net in over $2 million for 10 people working at PCC. And this is a nonprofit place. You know, the president knocks down 300, and this is again 2008, over $343,000 a year plus 58 in compensation and benefits. But this guy's knocking down almost over $400,000, one guy, for a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty nice benefit package.
We got a caller here. Bob, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go for it. You got a comment or a question?
Yeah, well, just about the general, what his theme is. I'd like to enhance it a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Carol Cox. And
oh, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Carol.
And you're
your
talking
voice,
to you.
Your voice is muffled.
I'm muffled?
It didn't sound like you. It sounded like somebody else.
Oh, okay. No. Go ahead.
The last comment he was just making was about the traffic. It's going to be horrendous over there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's going to be, even though they need the bridges bigger and the road safer over there, you know, they're anticipating this upgrade, you know what I mean, houses over there. There's no doubt about it. But to me, like you're saying, Laie is almost like a little mini internment camp. I mean, because you look at all them statistics, it isn't real. You know, it isn't like they're being starved or anything, but they're definitely being controlled. You know what I mean? The people that are there by the economics and their job opportunities and the 10% they got to give up to the church. I mean, that place doesn't seem like it should be in Hawaii. It should be over there in Utah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm talking to the local guy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's local, but I'm not local myself, and I've seen the area go up, you know, almost in smoke into what was an old sleepy kind of town, and now it's just like, oh, you know, the nightmare is just beginning, I think, out there, my friend.
Well, good. And Bill?
Yeah, the traffic is bad. I live right on Cam Highway.
Then you know exactly what's going on.
There's a gentleman that comes to the neighborhood board meeting every month, and every month he says the same thing. 9:30 o'clock at night, I live on the Malka side of the road. I cannot get out of my driveway for a half hour, 45 minutes, because the buses are just flying.
That's hideous, man. You're captured in your own little castle. You know what I mean? You need a boat, you know, to go to somewhere. Yeah, that 9:30, you know, I can see it must be ugly. I don't live on the highway or anything, so I know it goes by everybody on that highway, so it must be annoying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad with the Kona winds, because then it just smells like the inside of a Greyhound station, just the
diesel. Yeah, you know, the cultural center, that's been there eons, but this new population thing over there is really going to amplify everything that's gone on. You know what I mean? And the bringing in the people like you were talking about the housing crisis and stuff. No one's going to be able to afford that. This is all insanity. You know what I mean? Somebody would put it on the table. This is not for the local people, only for the local people in Laie that they're going to be controlled by,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the church. So, you know, my friends were down at the last, they had the protest last week or whatever it was, but I couldn't get there. But they said, you know, there was a lot of people, but there's not enough uproar. Like you're saying, there's got to be more people, you know, putting their hands in the air and asking more questions, or we're in trouble out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just hope, you know, if people hear your plea and, you know, join the cause.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Aloha. Now, some ask the question, how does, quote, rural character and diversified agriculture, quote, fit with 5 hotels, 1,000 condominiums, and a new Envision IA subdivision with 875 market value affordable homes, a regional commercial center, industrial and technology parks on 900 acres of ag land?
It doesn't. It doesn't. And it depends. He's talking about 845. You look at the brochure, it says, I think it's a 1,200 in this one. 1,219 is what they're calling on this one. I've heard anything from 800 to 1,400 units.
Mm-hmm.
And it bounces. And again, that's my real question with the DPP. How can you vote on this? You don't know the style of the house, the cost of the house, are they fee simple, how many bedrooms, what are they going to look like? I mean, this is just, it's carte blanche to go build, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you zone it for residential and high-density housing, you're doomed. You're doomed because they can put as much as they want. Even though the plan says, okay, 60 people, listen, you're already blowing the plan out of the water with your own rules anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a sewage treatment plant up there. Do you know anything about that, or how is that going to come into play? Did the city accept that, or what happened? Have you done any looking into that, or any questions?
That one you can look at in a bunch of different angles. A couple of years ago, they rebuilt the sewer plant up there and put in a low-pressure pump system. I know of already 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that have failed, and others that are having continuous problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the pumps, and ironically, for all you folks out there, when you get your water bill, it's based on your sewer bill. So if you're watering your grass, you're paying for the sewer fee for that water, whether it's going through the pump or not. I'm sorry, I lost track here. Just a little stuff like that, Carol, that really gets me. Again, that's our government at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, you know, what I just remind people
is
the sewer. You were in the sewer. But, you know, I look at this and I know that it's tainted. I know that because I have documents and that I've recovered and I file complaints and they watch those and, you know. But always remember, folks, with anything that we are dealing with now, the rail, the EPA, consent decree, now this. I quote a very famous young man who had great aspirations to lead us. And always remember, the proof is in the poi. And as long as I will have that etched in my mind, so whenever I see former Mayor Mufi Hanneman, I will remind myself, the proof is in the poi. And what that means is that, metaphorically, it's a great statement because it's very sticky. And this gentleman has woven a spider's web that I've seen no spider web could weave. He is sophisticated, and he left on our doorsteps a very, very ugly, expensive number of things, that projects. And they all are tainted. All of them, either by the appointments of people. So remember that. So when you see our former illustrious the mayor sitting there on TV talking and giving opinion about political and his comments on the rail, just say to yourself, didn't we vote him out? So if we voted him out and sent him down the road, maybe we need now to go and revisit those people that he left in place, that he purposely put in place. And again, former Mayor Hanneman, if you'd like to come in and talk on the show, now you have a lot of time on your hand, unless you're doing something, I don't know. But you're welcome to come in and talk about this, because we see now the Neighborhood Board Commission rebuked the Neighborhood Board out in Coral Isle, Laurel, which some of the people there were working directly with your people. And we need to know. Closed doors were afforded, meetings were afforded by an appointee of yours. So, again, folks, the proof is in the poi, and we're left with some expensive toys, and they don't seem to benefit all of us as the general population, only special interest. But anyway, Bill, go ahead. Sorry about that. I just...
Okay. Well, again, I'd just like to say that I don't really have an opinion as far as the government services are going now, or past or present.
Well, that's why they call it the Carol Cox Show. We state our opinion.
Yeah. Well, I'm not working on that. I've got nothing. You know, I'm not arguing with the government because they haven't done anything to offend me at this point. As a matter of fact, I am tickled pink and was very surprised that the Neighborhood Commission actually followed through with rulings of law as they're supposed to.
Let me get my technician in here and pinch you. What did you say? You say, well, you don't, they shut you out of meeting. You have to go and appeal to a neighbor to get a ruling. So
right.
I'm saying
they did their job. The Neighborhood Commission did their job,
right.
and they rescinded the vote because it was the final effect showed that they did it wrong. Now, if it was truly corrupt all the way through, they might have gotten away with it. Maybe I made too much noise. But again, like I say, my point is you know, I don't really care about any government office. I lived in Laie over 20 years. I love the people.
Well, okay, so David Tenoy is okay. He's in the government.
I know nothing about David Tenoy.
Okay. All right.
I know he got slid in there.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell the world that, hey, this is really about to blow up on us and the guys are getting to it, but we're, you know, it's irrelevant anyway. Yeah. The point is that we don't have issues with government. Only when you have to, you shouldn't have to go and file in a democracy. You shouldn't have to take a whip and snap it to get attention. See, that should have been afforded to you as the rules and good, honest, democratic people do. So when you have to file a complaint to get what your basic rights to be put in place,
exactly.
I get alarmed, and that's why I say the things I say about it. But anyway, you...
And that's why I went against. And that's why I filed my complaint with the board. I mean, I was going to meetings, and I was just being. My words were water off a duck's back.
Right. Well, the city claims that there's no consensus. Both claim their interpretations are relevant to quality of life. The city claims, City Hall claims, there's no consensus. The Department of Planning and Permitting treats no consensus, quote, no consensus, as a green light for massive developments. You know anything about that one?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty much still working on the grassroots level and trying to get the word out, which is hard when you're trying to do it with against someone that is so well-funded and organized as the Trinity, because the common man, he's too busy working his 8-10 hours a day to sit there and do all this stuff, and he doesn't have anybody buying him shirts and feeding him food before before a neighborhood commission meeting or before a neighborhood board meeting.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, your efforts, you have no money, and this is all done free, and you know, as a citizen, they have a lot of money, but how are they able to influence? Let's say they do have a lot of money. Who are they influencing? Having the money is one thing. Are they crossing the line? Are they using their money? Are you insinuating that they're using their money to influence government? Because it is the government who's going to make the final decision.
Again,
just speaking specifically now to a point, just for my listeners out there, if you say that there's something wrong, there's a fly in the ointment here, then that's no problem. But how do we move from the fly in the ointment to the government? How is the government being motivated?
I mean, okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay, I'll bring it back to that neighborhood board meeting, is that there was a conflict of interest to make a decision on a one-hour presentation on such a grave issue that will impact the entire island after 1 hour. There had to be, either it was a conflict of interest or it was a dereliction of duty. Okay? Now, again, and I'll go and I'll say it again, if the DPP votes to approve this new sustainable community plans that has been injected with things that have not been discussed over the last 11 years, been shoved in there in the last couple of months, they would be doing the same thing. They do not have the proper information. And if you do have it, how come you haven't let us know what it is? If you've been secretly meeting with the HRID and PCC and BYU over the last year, show us something. Why are you so secretive about it?
Now, who are you saying is suggesting they show you? Who? Which agent? Is it an agency or HR?
The DPP.
Oh, the government, the DPP. Okay. Yeah, because I don't know I looked at some of these documents, and man, I don't know, my hat's off to you that you could swim through them and then come up with even be publicly speak to them, because I know personally I made requests and they would give me a portion. And I'm thinking, that's not what I asked for, so I can't make an informed opinion or a statement. I have to wait and then write again, since could you give me the other half of the alphabet? So, you know, and it leaves you, and imagine trying to do that for free as a citizen and make a living and live and do your own private life and then come back. It must be a struggle for you.
Well, Carol, I will accept donations for my time. But what was really ironic is that when they released the first report of the Sustainable Communities plans, I went through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was itchy, touchy, scratchy, feely kind of stuff. And it already had a couple of suggested. And then you read the next one where it says they wanted the revised, which was the stuff that had stuff interjected from the Envision IEA.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have literally a third version, the Ramsayers, comes out where all of this stuff is just plugged right into it, and this is the final draft.
Mm-hmm.
And you read it all again. I mean, it is mind-boggling. Fortunately, there are some people out there that do, see something and tip me off with a few points, but that's a lot of documentation to read, and it's slick.
So how do people get in touch with you if they wanted to, or are you able to give them more information? How do they reach you, and do you have a website, a phone number, anything?
I have no website. If anybody wants to go out there and build one, I'd love to have one, because if you go on the internet and look up the Envision IEA, you will get swamped with positive stuff that is shoved through there. They get their hit counts up by having, I think they have everybody from here to Utah go and hit the link so it has the most counts. And it's the first one up there. We'd have to have a little variation in the name. Like, I like Division IEA.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has truly divided the community. And a lot of the community is unable to say anything due to fear of being chastised. Some aren't, like June James.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect her for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I would give out my email address.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
My email address is HaleLaiea, HaleLaiea at AOL.com. That's HaleLaiea in Hawaiian, because that's what I've got. And I'd love to hear things from other people. I'd like to get more input. Like I said, I'm not real familiar with the government end. I'm more on the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
My idea is to let the people know. I know these people. My kids have grown up with them, and I hate to see them to get shafted again, a third or fourth time,
mm-hmm.
with this promise of housing. Because kids, it ain't going to happen.
Okay.
And for those of you that, and if there's any of you kids out there listening, you know, everybody says, I want my kids to live in Hawaii. You know what? Go see the world.
Mm-hmm.
My kids in Utah skiing at the Grand Tetons right now.
Right. Well, thank you, Bill, for coming in and talking. If any other information you have, please feel free to call and share it with us. And we're going to get out of here. Again, thank you for joining us. My guest was Bill Recoma from the LIA side, talking about the Sustainable Community Plan and the Ko'olau Loa issues. And again, thank you. See you next week. Aloha.
Before I'd never come here if I'd known.